Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. Oh, greetings, Earth Explorers. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. We're coming to you live from Eastern Kentucky, up against the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. AccuWindow forecast, 21 degrees outside, clear and cold. The solar wind is holding at 311.6 second, 3 days past the blue moon. That's the second blue moon of 2009. Sunspot 1039 is waning and will disappear over the western limb of the sun on January 5th. This could be the beginning of the flare season we spoke about in Volume 2 of the Arc of Millions of Years. Some have speculated the new solar maximum has begun and whether this will cause the Earth to resume warming. Do you think it's about time we seriously consider the alternatives for energy that will not contribute to greenhouse gases? Don't you think foresight is a little better than hindsight from an extinction event? China's Shenzhou 7 spacecraft is about to re-enter Earth's atmosphere, probably over a remote area of the Pacific Ocean. Nominal re-entry time is 4:05 Greenwich Mean Time. On January 4th, on September 25th, 2008, Shenzhou 7 carried three tachonauts into Earth orbit. The tachonauts parachuted to Earth on September 28th, 2008, in a descent capsule, leaving the Shenzhou 7 mothership in a decaying orbit. There were only 24 earthquakes around the world in the last 24 hours. 8 of these were above 5.0 in strength. We will keep you posted on how this trends out during the new year. As you know, we're probably going to see a lot more earthquakes and volcanoes and such in the coming months as we near 2012. So we'll watch to see if the mailing addresses in the Philippines due to the new volcano change around. Some experts say that a major eruption is imminent. A bright comet discovered by NASA's Stereo A spacecraft is swinging by the sun today and apparently disintegrating. This kamikaze comet is probably a member of the Kreutz sungrazer family, named after a 19th century German astronomer who studied them in detail. Kreutz sungazers are fragments from the breakup of a giant comet at least 2,000 years ago. Some of these fragments pass by the sun and disintegrate every day. Most are too small to see. Today's fragment is a big exception. You may still be able to see it tonight if you have clear, dark skies. Out here in eastern Kentucky and across most of the nation, if you have a clear, dark sky tonight, you're probably going to need a parka outside. The 5th of January at 6:11 p.m., you can look up from the eastern coast of the U.S. and see the International Space Station pass over. If you haven't seen it, it's because you never looked up. It's brighter than Jupiter on the 5th of January. It comes over every 2 hours during some nights. For more information on when it will pass over your neighborhood, go to heavensabove.com. That's heavens-above.com. Also, heavy snow hit Beijing today, stranding thousands of passengers at the main airport and casting an unusual quiet over normally busy streets as people stayed out of the freezing weather. Forecasters say the coldest stretch of weather in years, if not decades, could be heading for North Carolina. While temperatures won't be falling to record lows, the National Weather Service says the duration of the cold weather is unusual. Highs could struggle to get above freezing for the next week in areas from Raleigh west. Those of you that live in that area notoriously have trouble with ice, as Interstate 40 is kind of the ice line between snow to the north and rain to the south. So if we do get somewhere around 34, 35 degree rain, you're probably going to see ice again. Russia's space chief said Wednesday his agency will consider sending a spacecraft to a large asteroid to knock it off its path and prevent a possible collision with Earth. Anatoly Permanov said the space agency will hold a meeting soon to assess a mission to Apophis, telling Golos Rossi Radio that it would invite NASA, the European Space Agency, the Chinese Space Agency, and others to join the project once it is finalized. When the 270-meter asteroid was first discovered in 2004, astronomers estimated the chances of it smashing into Earth in its first flyby in 2029 were as high as 1 in 37. Those are pretty good odds, people. Without mentioning NASA findings, Permanov said that he heard from a scientist that Apophis is getting closer and may hit the planet. I don't remember exactly, but it seems to me it could hit Earth by 2032, said Permanov. Some studies have suggested that the ability of oceans and plants to absorb carbon dioxide recently may have begun to decline, and that the airborne fraction of anthropogenic carbon dioxide emissions is therefore beginning to increase. To assess whether the airborne fraction is indeed increasing, Wolfgang Knorr of the Department of Earth Sciences at the University of Bristol reanalyzed available atmospheric carbon dioxide and emissions data since 1850 and considers the uncertainties in the data. In contradiction to some recent studies, he finds that the airborne fraction of carbon dioxide has not increased either during the past 150 years or during the most recent 5 decades. Now, does this mean that Earth can keep up with anything mankind does? As the carbon increases slightly, the algae content increases with it? There is a certain amount of common sense to be applied here, folks. If we have an affordable long-term transportation solution that will eliminate the dark spots in our ecology, like Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta, Boston, then why would we continue to burn more expensive petroleum? The answer is we should stop burning petroleum for cars. Diesel can be grown from seeds and algae, but gasoline is the most inefficient and polluting fuel we have. There is no reason why we cannot introduce electric automobiles into our daily commuting. Don't forget to check out Sirius Energies Corporation for the most affordable solution soon to be in production in 2010. We've got some interesting stuff to talk about tonight. James Gilliland's with us. Don't go away. We'll be back in 40 seconds with X Squared Radio. This is a 3-hour program, X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. We have some very interesting subjects to talk about tonight. The Earth seems to be humming with energy right now. Seems like, hold on 1 second here. We have some technical difficulties. No problem. Just a couple of beeps here. We'll be back on. Okay, we're good. Now,
I'm here.
All right. Our guest tonight is James Gilliland. Welcome, James, to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, this is great. You know, James comes on from time to time, and tonight is one of those typical short-notice nights, So you are really in for a treat, because this is when magical things happen on this program. No script, no rehearsal. It's just raw energy. So James and I have known each other for a number of years, and we come on each other's programs. And, of course, he has that wonderful conference in July in Trout Lake, Washington. If you want more information on it, you can go to ECETI, ECETI.org, and find out more about it. This year is going to be even better than last year. So, and by the way, if you haven't seen a UFO, just start saving your dollars, because you're going to see one this year. All right, James, Earth seems to be shedding some very negative shrouds that have gained power over the past few decades. And I know that sounds a little unscientific, but I want everybody to listen up. Last week we announced that the Voyager craft has reported the presence of a large body of very hot, fast gas particles. They actually call it fluff, right where we predicted it would be, much to the surprise of astrophysicists. So Big Bang proponents have said that the low-level microwave hum across the universe is evidence they are right about the origins of the universe. However, the presence of this encapsulated high-energy particle cloud just outside the heliosphere is evidence to the contrary. They're saying that several supernova occurred maybe a millennia ago, and are responsible for these high-energy particles, and that falls in line with our theory of planetary creation. It's not Big Bang. It's a bunch of medium bangs. So what's happening with the energy of the Earth right now, James?
You know, there's some really interesting things going on. And there's a lot of people don't put any, stock in astrology, especially when sometimes the planets aren't where they're supposed to be. But, if you get into the Vedic astrology, they are aligned in where they're supposed to be. And I really don't get into it that much, but I've been observing what's been going on. And we just had the sun aligned with Pluto coming into Christmas. And, we all know what that's about. But it brings up all your deepest, darkest fears and wounds and secrets and everything. And right in time to be hanging out with all your relatives, So it was quite interesting event. And I know a lot of processes, went on through that.
Should have made some very interesting family reunions.
No, exactly. And the shift that we're going through right now, that we just went through the full moon that was aligned with Mars. And, brings up a lot of anger and a lot of aggression and a lot of unprocessed, energies around that. But there's something else driving behind that as well. We can't really put a label on it. The only thing I can say is it's multidimensional, and it's higher beings or higher consciousness and energy.
Well, do you think it's a clearing event that the Earth is kind of in a purge or an allergic reaction to the darkness that's been building up for a while?
It is, and I know the past 2 days, those people who are sensitive have just been laid out, and they almost have been just rendered dysfunctional, and myself being one of them. And I couldn't figure out what the heck is going on. This energy is just slamming me. And the Earth is doing a major purge itself and releasing a lot of the dense consciousness and energy that's psychometrized into it as well. And those who are sensitive are actually feeling this move up and out, through them at the same time, and have just been laid out and had to do a lot of healing work themselves, and clearing this baggage, you might say. So it's been quite a trying time, especially for people who are sensitive right now. But, it's a good thing.
What I've found, and this is really new since the last time we talked, there had been some articles out as Voyager was getting close to the edge of the heliosphere that they weren't really expecting it to go through the event horizon of the heliosphere for a long time. All of a sudden, it started poking out into clear space. And they said, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be there. The heliosphere is much bigger than that. And what they found was that the solar wind has been quiet, really quiet, for so long now, almost 600 days,
mm-hmm.
that the galactic wind is beginning to overcome the solar wind, and it's distorting the roundness of the sphere into more of a bullet shape. It's kind of stretching it out like a torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
And then the presence of these high-energy particles, which would normally be buffeted outside our heliosphere, sort of protected by the solar wind, are now penetrating into the solar system. Now, what this means, I don't know if you're familiar with cosmic rays, but we get bombarded mm-hmm. all the time by solar cosmic rays. We're kind of used to it. Our plants metabolize it, and our atmosphere lights up with it, with the aurora sometimes, and upper cloud cover seems to absorb it. But these are not solar particles. These are galactic particles. These are fresh, clean supernova particles. In other words, these are virgin particles that are coming into our atmosphere. And when they do, they fluoresce. They bounce off of molecules in the upper atmosphere, and they kick off new photons. Well, mm-hmm. those photons are of a frequency that seems to be switching on things in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking down the street, eating cookies, drinking milk, minding your own business, and your DNA is switching.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that's happening is these particles are going into the earth, and then we eat the earth. You know, the peas and carrots that we eat come from the earth. All that lettuce, all those Big Macs, everything comes from the earth and makes up the proteins of your body. But it's the genes of your body and the environment in which you live that make those proteins. So you're beginning to anatomically change, and that's the environment in which your consciousness resides. So maybe that this is the 2x4 that's smacking everybody right now.
Yeah, the big cosmic 2x4, exactly. You know, they've been talking about this event, the higher beings, the Pleiadians, Andromedans, and some of the other ones, and they've been saying a big event is coming, and they've been talking about it over and over, and they would feed me bits and pieces, but wouldn't give me the whole agenda of what's going on. But it's almost as if the source itself is invading the earth through every little atom, and it's just amazing. But you know, whenever you add a huge influx of energy into a system, you know, there's going to be change and there's going to be evolution. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. It's here. It's ongoing. And we're going through a quantum leap right now in consciousness and energy. Are you familiar with Dr. I think it's Dmitriev. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. The Russian physicist that he actually said that our Earth is moving to a new place. Our whole solar system is moving to a new, highly energized place in space. And it might have something to do with this as well. And he's talking about how it's going to you know, affect us on so many levels. And, you know, we do have these bioelectric magnetic fields around our body, and that's being completely altered. And then you add that to Bruce Lipton's work, where he says the cell, the DNA is not the brain of the cell, but it's the gonads. It's a replicator. And the information is actually coming in from outside the cell through antenna on the cell wall. And that is telling the DNA what to do. That's the new information. So, you know, we don't have enough genes to operate this body. We're short, 70,000 genes or so to operate this body. So there is some unseen force, outside force, that is governing this physical body. And
yeah,
when you add that...
That's a real breakthrough that
oh, yeah.
There is one gene for each protein, as was once believed. Each gene has a big catalog of proteins that they can make. And then you have the folding and unfolding of proteins as they replicate. That's the Darwinian theory that, you know, this is when proteins mutate. You know, this is when things adapt to their environment. But normally we don't see that until there's a generational change. That is to say... now children that are being born are showing at least a 10% larger cerebrum than children born in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're attributing this to the huge influx of this new neural network called the Internet. In the 1930s, people were very lucky to have local input, and it was usually from a one-room schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. Now children are being bombarded from all kinds of multimedia inputs, and I'm telling you, most 12-year-olds I know, which is about how long the Internet's really been functional out there, are far better with computers and high-tech and games and iPods and programming and understanding a high-tech world, balancing in it, than I was when I was 12. And I try to keep up, but hey, my kids beat my butt at Xbox. I mean, they just clean my clock. It's it's not hand-eye coordination. It's hand-thumb coordination.
So yeah, I do that. I hand things to my nephews and my nieces, and I said, hey, can you program this for me? Or can you? I can't keep up with it myself.
But anyway, my point was that this evolution that you were talking about is normally a generational thing. We don't see it till we see grandkids or great-grandkids. But the evolution you're talking about is intra-generational. People are changing on the fly right now, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. What I'm seeing right now is that it's just this huge influx of energy is pushing everything up to the surface. And, you know, they used to call it the apocalypse, which really means the great uncovering, where everything is uncovered. And we're definitely in it. It doesn't so much mean all this total death and destruction. It just means the great uncovering. And, you know, we are just seeing everything being uncovered. And there's just no real line anymore. I mean, there are some, I would say, sheeple out there that are still towing the line, you know, and believe everything they hear on the media. But I would say, you know, the vast majority of the people are just saying, you know, wait a second, you know, we're done with this program. We're done with the wars. We're done with the line. We're done with the banksters. We're done with all of this nonsense. You know, why don't you guys go out and produce something? You know, they're tired of being enslaved through dependency, and they know there's more to this earth than that's available to them through the mainstream.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up the banksters. You know, I just heard the most incredible report that the banks had been recently bailed out with billions of dollars of taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. And one of the first banks to actually give back the money, that is to say, pay back the money, was Bank of America. Now, this is one of the banks that tried, as soon as they were given the bailout money, to give huge bonuses to their executives and salespeople and brokers. I mean, mm-hmm. $50 million bonuses on up. And the government said, hey, you can't do that. I mean, you're taking taxpayers' money. You can't just write big fat checks to yourselves. After all, you didn't do such a good job, you drove your companies into bankruptcy. So the companies now, the banks, are giving the money, paying the money back to the government so that they can turn around and write those big fat bonus checks now and drive the banks right back into bankruptcy and ask for the bailout again.
Of course. Yeah, that's the way they operate.
Oh, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, you know, their whole function is they lust for power and wealth at any expense. They don't see themselves as part of the whole. They see themselves as separate. And they're running on fear of lack and quite a few other programs and this false sense of separation. So, you know, we really can't expect anything else from them. And it's time to quit enabling them and supporting this nonsense. You know, it's time to just say, okay, look, you blew it. Accept the consequences. Let's bring somebody in that is a little more forthright and has a level of integrity and have a good vacation or whatever.
Well, I understand fear of lack. I mean, I know people that make, you know, $100 a week. They have a fear of lack. Mm-hmm. But a $50 million annual bonus to overcome your fear of lack?
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
You can only eat so many steak dinners and then you got to get a rib spreader. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's pure greed there. That's just undeniable, pure greed. I mean, there's nothing. I don't know why people equate self-worth with these little green pieces of paper. You know, it makes no sense to me at all, but I can see how we've totally given our power away to these little green pieces of paper because they are the accepted, you know, exchange of today's society. But we really need to step back and go, well, wait a second, you know, what are the consequences of this? What am I buying into? What am I supporting? And just really reevaluate what's going on there.
You sort of helped me clear something right there. You know, starting up an electric car company is not the easiest thing in the world. It's not as though they say no. It's just they never say yes. It just takes you a long, long time to get through things. So it's all money going out and no money coming in. And it gets pretty skinny from time to time. But you got to stay focused on what's really important. And I got to admit, James, the last 60 days, I've been pretty focused on the little green pieces of paper. So I ask your forgiveness and the forgiveness of the listeners. And we'll start concentrating on the end game instead of the little pieces of paper in the universe. We'll funnel in what needs to come in. So now I see the energy that man has been operating under for, I'm going to say, the last 20 years. It's really been right in your face, whether it's a war, whether it's graft, whether it's industrial espionage. Now it seems that any new automobile innovation, whether it's electric cars or fuel-saving technologies or charge-as-you-drive technologies, they can't come forward because now those technologies are not competing with the car companies. They're competing with the federal government. So the federal government's not going to provide funds to compete with its own companies. And it's so obvious. It's so blatant. It's ridiculous. It's right in your face. That kind of energy that forbids the Earth from getting the healing technologies that she needs, the things that clean up the air and the water and stop burning the planet as a way of pushing our automobiles around, aren't getting onto the market. They're not getting in the hands of the consumer. Mm-hmm. So the Earth is going to have a conscious allergic reaction to those who insist on dwelling in darkness and fear.
Exactly.
And you know, those dark energies are not going to be supported with this new frequency, but they're going to be destructively interfered with. Now, as long as the human beings keep pouring energy into their fear and dark efforts, they'll survive. But there won't be any further help from the Earth. Mm-hmm. And that means the help from the Earth is going to go somewhere else. Where is it going to go, James?
Well, here's what I'm understanding right now. I know Dolores Cannon did a lot of regressions with people, and it matches up with the same information that we got back in the mid-70s or something. But I didn't fully understand it. But we seem to be going through this split, almost like an amoeba splits and creates two worlds, and they're two separate frequencies and parallel worlds, you might say. And the Hopi talk about this, and there's some carvings that talk about it. And I've heard, you know, several other nations talk about it, you know, in their prophecies. But there does seem to be an event coming up to where there is going to be a split in two parallel worlds. And one world will continue on its downward spiral where they're misusing technology and lust for money and power and wealth at any expense. And you know, they're going to continue with the wars and the disease profiteers and all that nonsense. And that one takes this downward spiral and completely collapses. And then the other one, the other path is going to take the upward spiral. And they're more focused on love and joy and peace and bliss and living in harmony with each other and the planet. And, you know, very service oriented. And those are going to continue because that's where the Earth is going. She's moving in her ascension process in that direction. And I think it's already happening because I'm seeing right now that, you know, they say there are as many worlds as there are realities or people creating realities down here. And I just see that there are collective realities and collective consciousnesses that are choosing, you know, to live in harmony with each other and the planet. And there's others that are choosing to continue with the competition and the war and the greed and the lust for power and wealth. And I'm just seeing the power and the energy here on the planet right now is no longer supporting that old program. And it's just going to be phasing out here. It's going to collapse and implode upon itself.
Well, one can only hope. I mean, that's going to be chaotic and cataclysmic, but there is some scientific support for this. Let me read this. Dr. Tom Krimigas of the Applied Physics Laboratory at Johns Hopkins University said this. He said, there has to be a sense of wonder in that it is the first man-made object, we're talking about Voyager, that is touching interstellar space, and this has never happened. We're getting out of the protective cocoon of the sun, and this clearly marks a milestone in humanity's knowledge of our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's leading-edge physicists telling
yes.
us that our solar system is beginning to move out of its cocoon. That is to say, maybe the cocoon is entering an area with new energy.
Exactly.
And this resonates with this higher frequency Earth. You'll remember the first year that I came up to speak at your conference, I believe it was in 2006, I spoke on the Union of the Polarity, which was our first book. And this is exactly what we talked about, was how the Earth was formed and how in 2012 it's going to come apart again. And those energies that resonate with the two different halves will go with the two different halves.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be going in that direction. And, you know, there is a lot of physics to support that, you know, the many-world theory and parallel worlds, you know, existing right alongside of each other. And I know when you really do your spiritual work, you find out that there are these dimensions and worlds existing right alongside of ours, and a lot of them are aware of what we're doing, but we can't see up into their worlds. You know, it takes a lot of discipline and practice, unless you're one of these indigo kids, you know, that popped in with all of their synapses turned on, you might say. But, you know, it's amazing that what's happening here at the ranch, because we are on a vortex, we're actually experiencing these other worlds and having these just phenomenal experiences here. And, you know, we're kind of going through that process ahead of other people. And a lot of people have been coming up here and are being initiated by the energy here in various ways and having major breakthroughs as well. You know, there is so much support for this process and so little support for the tyranny and the downward spiral that, you know, it's a no-brainer. We are going to go there. The forces behind this are so huge. There's no man can stop it. And, you know, albeit they are trying to stop it, but they are not going to be successful. It's just a huge event, and it's much bigger than any of the little, you know, demigods down here on the planet, you know, the New World Order boys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last week in Iran, they had a spiritual leader who passed away. And in typical fashion, the followers of this spiritual leader went to the streets. And as it turns out, this spiritual leader was not really in support of the president of Iran, who has been quite a warmonger for half a dozen years out there. Anyway, tens of thousands of people pour into the streets for peaceful yet very populist demonstrations against the government. And, of course, the government moved in with nightsticks and gas and tried to disperse everybody. And I have to admit, outside news agencies couldn't cover it because Iran doesn't allow outside news agencies like Reuters or others in there to cover it. But James is exactly right. The energy of resistance to those who are getting ready to order up another war from Wars R Us is really gaining momentum.
Exactly. I think, you know, I love what, there was a book, I can't remember which book it was, but there was a message from Mary, and she said that peace, you know, universal peace will never come through religions or governments. It'll come through the hearts and minds of the people. And that's what I see going on right now. The masses are waking up. They're fed up with these war and disease profiteers. They're fed up with, you know, all this misuse of technology. And they're also fed up of just paying through the nose for things that they neither believe in or want to support. And that's all coming to a head right now. And I think it's going to culminate here very shortly in a very, very big worldwide revolution.
Well, there has been a very recent event that I want to cover in the next hour, and that is when you're talking about the disease profiteers. There have been several efforts, I'm going to say in the last 10 years, a couple of presidencies anyway, to have the government take over the healthcare system in the United States. And it appears as though those that are proponents for this, those that are in favor of this, have won a recent victory. Now we don't really know the true turnout of this new bill, because it's rather voluminous and has a lot of loopholes in it, and evidently some of the states that voted for it are mysteriously exempt from it, a la Nebraska. It appears that those people who could not afford insurance but could afford health care are now going to be forced into poverty by being required to carry health care, which is many, many, many times more expensive, paying for health insurance, which is many, many more times expensive than health care itself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a classic example of the disease profiteers forcing, their will on others. And, you really look at, we have to take a really good look at who's running our country. It's the big corporations. That's the bottom line. You know that new movie Avatar? Have you seen that yet?
Oh my gosh! I went and saw it twice in 3D.
The underlying story there is that basically the corporations were in control. They're in control of the military, and they destroyed planet Earth. And now they're called the Sky People, who are coming to rape other civilizations, you might say. And that's pretty much where we're at right now. The underlying story is pretty much where we're at. I mean, we are run by the big corporations. The oil, the war industry, the pharmaceutical companies are calling the shots. And they are going to force their will and impose their will on the people. And they are not providing anything good. I hate to say it, but as far as what's good about the war industry, zip, nothing. The oil industry, what's good about that? Sure, we need oil right now, but we should be phasing out of oil, and we have these clean fuelless technologies that have been around forever. I've held them in my hand, but they can't get out. And some of the technologies that you're working with, the electric cars and things like that, are all suppressed, by the very people you would think would be assisting its own people in getting this out. You can go further into the disease profiteers is that this is what 2010 we're in right now, and they haven't cured the common cold. They haven't cured cancer. They haven't cured anything. And, they do create supplements and things that create dependencies and cure the symptoms or make the symptoms go away, but they aren't curing the disease itself. Actually, the human body is the only thing that actually cures itself. The drugs and things don't do it. But, there are some very, very powerful natural things out there. This reminds me of a study. They did this study, and they wanted to find the most powerful thing that would knock out any bacteria or virus or parasite, and they searched every kind of chemical you could think of. And you know what they came up with? They came up with salt water and vitamin C was the best thing you could do to knock out any virus or bacteria or a lot of the other things that are plaguing. I mean, salt water and vitamin C. Do you think we ever heard of that? Of course not. It's a simple, cheap cure. There's a lot of other things like cancer. Most cancers are anaerobic. Your blood pH has to go down, way below around 4 or 6 or so to get cancer. And the oxygen levels have to go way down in the blood. If you increase the oxygen levels in the blood, raise the pH, cancer can't exist. It backs it out of the system. So these cures and this knowledge have been around since 1920s and 1930s. Royal Rife had the Rife machine, which he could, isolate each virus or bacteria and zap it, into oblivion. And the human cells are 10,000 times more resilient. But again, that is out there. I mean, you can get these Rife machines, but it should be used in mainstream, medical, But then, again, this goes against the pharmaceutical companies. So, you have to kind of use it, everything underground. But if you want to cure yourself, you almost have to go underground now, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, and if you want to drive a fuelless energy machine, you better keep your mouth shut if you do have one, because, you know, you'll disappear very quickly, you know. So
about disappearing, I mean, we drive our electric trucks all over the town, and we have more sold than we could possibly build, but getting that FMVSS certification has been a challenge.
Yeah.
Not from a process point of view, just from a funding point of view. It's difficult.
I wonder if there's any way you could bypass that, like have people sign a waiver or something like that saying, because, you know, basically their program is always to protect the people. But if the people waive that and just say, hey, look, I don't want your protection, I want the vehicle.
Well, you could do that. But when you go to get a license plate, you have to get a title. And
yeah.
The title is controlled by the Department of Motor Vehicles, and the Department of Motor Vehicles is controlled by the Department of Transportation.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The Department of Transportation is controlled by the NHTSA, which is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and that is the one that controls the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards. So if you can't mm-hmm. pass the crash test, you can't get a title for your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So you could drive it off-road, but you can't go out on the highway.
Maybe you should just sell about 50,000 of them and have everybody drive on the same highway and see.
I have an 80-mile-an-hour pickup truck that can haul 1,000 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Now, 100 miles at 80 miles an hour, it'll go about 45 miles. But, you know, we're getting better battery technology. The key is to create the flashlight. You can't spend all your money on batteries if you don't have a flashlight. So we want to get the vehicles out there. And then later the battery technology can catch up. I mean, let's get serious, people.
Well, you know, I'm hearing a lot of new technologies that have been suppressed are coming out, you know, in Japan and Russia and China. And supposedly they do have some breakthroughs in batteries that are basically doubling some of the batteries we've been depending on. So.
Oh. Yeah, more than doubling. I mean, our battery is one of the things that's been the death of the lithium battery and lithium polymer batteries is that intra or intercell differential. They have a tendency to destroy themselves and catch on fire, which is pretty inconvenient for drivers.
Yeah.
So Dow is, of course, one of the largest chemical companies in the world, but Dow Kokam has come up with a new battery that's all one fiber. It's just folded up, so all the intercell differentials go away, and the weight goes away. We dropped from, about 1,116 pounds to about 450 pounds for our battery pack. That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's several fat people removed from the vehicle. I mean, you really can go a long way now on a charge. It's trying to get the price down where people can afford it.
Did you hear about that? I think I sent you the link. I don't know if I did, but there's a guy that GM actually took his patent and just put it on the shelf and killed it. But he created a liquid battery that would have doubled the range of the electric car and made it feasible.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there. There's about four main technologies. There's nickel zinc, there's nickel metal hydride, there's lithium, and then there's some advanced lead gel batteries, which are doing really well.
Uh-huh.
And the lead gels are mainstays, the AGM batteries. They just are so bulletproof. You can just beat them up day after day after day, and they last for years, and they're cheap. But although they'd be really good for the post office, they wouldn't be good for a commuter who, say, you know, has to travel 65 or 75 miles one way to work. But it would mm-hmm. be awesome for the post office. I mean, they loved our vehicle. They just ate it up. Anyway, I as we're getting close to the top of the hour, I want to make sure that we finish off this Earth Energy discussion. Because one of the things that's unique about Trout Lake, when you fly into this area, if you'll, you know, fly in from Seattle or fly into Portland, you'll notice that there are four large mountains in the area. And you can almost see all four from the air when you come in. If it's a real clear day, you can see them. And one of the things that's very stunning is it almost looks like synaptic connections to the Earth. I mean, very strong, very energetic rivers with constant flow of wind going up and down these rivers, creating tremendous amounts of static electricity. These mountains are very old and very powerful, and they kind of operate like chakra connections to the Earth. I mean, am I far off here, James?
No, you're right on, actually.
I mean, I've been to the Himalayas. I flew over K2, and I flew around Everest, and I got some fantastic footage. By the way, no cabin doors in Nepal. So when you're invited up to the cabin to straddle the nose wheel and film out the front window, you'll get the most stunning footage because the front windows of those old JP-31s are changed out. But the side windows are all scratched up from 37,000 hours of flying. But, I really got some amazing photographs of the Himalayas. So they say the Himalayas are the root chakra of the Earth. But that, there's got to be a heart chakra to the Earth. And I think that's the upper northwest.
Well, I do too. There's definitely, you know, a lot of people say Hawaii is the heart chakra, and you know, I don't know exactly which chakra this is, but it's definitely a power spot, and it's kind of an acupuncture point. And I know energies come in here intensely, and a lot of people have a hard time with these energies. You know, in about 3 days, all your stuff comes up here. And some people have a hard time with it and, you know, shift into blame and projection and make everything evil, you know, rather than looking within and realizing that it just might be within themselves that they might have brought it. But it's a very powerful energy here. But you can use it on the flip side. You can use this energy for healing. And people just blast through their old wounds and traumas and old pains and, you know, we've had spontaneous healings here happen quite a bit, and it's an amazing place if you come here consciously and, you know, with pure intent and open mind and loving heart, you'll have an amazing experience. But if you bring, you know, a lot of darkness with you and fear and victim patterns and things like that, and you're not ready to heal them, you know, you really shouldn't come here.
Well, I recommend going there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you there's just something phenomenally amazing about Trout Lake. I went there minding my own business and had quite the experience. And those people that know me, and I've got kids and, you know, wife and all that stuff, and they'll tell you, look, he was one guy when he went up there, and he was another guy when he came back, and that was 3 years ago, and I haven't changed back to my old ways, so. I think there's really something to it. The other thing that I noticed when I'm up there, especially the last couple of years, John Riley's brought up some really intense energy with his live stream generators. And although we don't really understand what's going on there, there's clearly a ratcheting effect. When you bring that technology up there, the happiness, the joy, the kid in you just bubbles forward like unbelievable. We just have the best time. And it's just good, clean, fantastic, loving, bonding energy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that love and joy and bliss from the higher dimensions opens up. And, you know, people feel it. And it's just amazing, you know, what happens to people when they come here. It's a life-changing experience. You know, and then you have to go home and kind of reprocess it and take a good look at the world you're in, you know, versus the one you just left, you know, so.
Well, I highly advise people not to go home with a workshop high, you know, come up there and realize that you're going to go through a metamorphosis. You're going to grow wings. You're going to lose your scales. And you can't go back and be a caterpillar, and you can't go back and be a reptilian. You just, you gotta roll with that energy and really realize that you're morphing. We do have a guy on the line that was up there at Trout Lake and had an amazing experience. Ramon from New York, welcome to the program.
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Oh, welcome to the show, Ramon.
Thank you.
I would have to say, if I had to guess what chakra is that, I would have to say is the third eye. And the reason why I say that is because that James Gilliland's place, there is no Veils. There's no such thing as Veils. You see things that were supposedly legend or not true, or only crazy people saw them. So I would say it's the third eye, because my third eye up there, I was seeing things that supposedly didn't exist, and I was seeing them. You know, so.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. People come up here, and the veils do come down. And, you know, if you're focused on the fairy kingdom or whatever, you're going to see that and actually photograph it if you desire. And if you're focused on the ascended masters, you're going to have that experience. And if you're focused on the ultra-dimensionals and their ships, you know, you'll see that too. So it's just amazing. It's just whatever people are focused on, the veils come down and they get to experience that reality and find out that, you know, it does exist right alongside of us.
Yeah, and it's not just the mental veil. I mean, how many friends of Ramon have a UFO on their cell phone?
Yeah.
Ramon photographed several UFOs with his phone up there.
The other thing I was going to mention was I saw Sun had this up on his Facebook. Somebody had made a video with prophecies, and one of the things they prophesized for this year was transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny that you gentlemen are talking about how all these truths are coming out, and I definitely see how, you know, even within myself, I feel like all these old wounds coming up, and you try to keep it down, and, you know, when I practice my Kundalini, it's just like, no, I'm here, deal with me. I'm not going away. It's almost the best way I can put it. It's like this year is going to be the year where you're going to be trapped in a room with a person you just can't stand, and okay, deal with them, live with them, learn how to live with them.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you know.
I was on Truth TV with Jesse Ventura, the debut show, a few Wednesdays ago, and they were interviewing the guys up at HARP, the two, I guess they were engineers that were helping out with the thing. And while they were being interviewed, they were asking them about, you know, about moving the weather and what they're doing with it, why the military's evolved. And these guys sounded like Elmer Fudd. They had nothing to say. They were totally taken off guard. Talk about total transparency. These guys were wearing clear boxer shorts on national television because it was hanging out right there on national TV. These guys were really embarrassed.
Yeah, I saw that. You could tell they're pretty upset by being asked those questions. You know, they think nobody knows what's going on there. They think it's all hidden in a secret, but a big portion of the world knows what they're up to, you know, and it's time they just give it up.
Well,
two-part question to that really briefly,
okay,
because I know we're getting to the top of the hour. One, I saw that I heard that they had put like a some kind of block where the cameras just like phased out, which were some scientists were saying, some scientists on YouTube were saying that the only way they can do that is by producing what HARP does to block out the cameras the way they fuzzed out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It would have to be some kind of electromagnetic pulse that made the camera, which is a digital camera, stop filming. It's all digital film. And when you start messing with the electronics of the camera, it stops filming. It's not light and chemical emulsion. It's magnetic tape.
Yeah. And the other one, didn't China admit to using HARP type technology in Russia?
Yeah, China and Russia both have ionospheric heaters, and I think Russia's is a little bit bigger now. I think it's going to 2 billion watts.
Yeah, so if they have it, then of course we would have it. I mean, that's only, from my point of view, I would think that's only common sense. I could be completely wrong, but you proved it scientifically, and I mean, this is definitely going to be the year of transparency. There's no way people constantly proving something, and you're going to be like, no, it doesn't exist. I didn't see nothing.
We saw nothing. Well, Ramon, we're right at the top of the hour. You want to hang through, you can. We're going to take a four-minute break, let people get some water and undo their seatbelt, and we're going to take off on hour two. You want to hang out or?
Yeah, I'll hang out.
I'll hang out, too. I'll stay a little longer.
Hey, that's cool. All right, we'll be back in about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. My guest, James Gilliland, and also Ramon from New York. We'll be back with more X Squared Radio. Unfolding, Lisa Gerard and Peter Bork. Amazing, mind-opening sounds. Those of you that ordered the Ark of Millions of Years trilogy over the Christmas season have a little patience. Our warehouse got wiped out from the sales Christmas. We appreciate that very much. We're restocking right now, so have a little patience, and we'll get your trilogies out to you. It takes a little longer to get to you people in Australia, so hang in there. My guest tonight, James Gilliland, and our special guest from New York, Ramon, will be back in 40 seconds with more X Squared Radio. Don't go away. As we enter 2010, the entire world becomes more aware that 2012 is on its way. Veils are opening, energies are shifting, and the solar system is entering a new place in the universe aligned with highly magnetic fields, high gravitational fields, and high energy particles. It's having its effect, and we're going to talk about that this hour. Welcome back, James. Ramon? All right. So one of the things that has been studied and talked about in recent programs, and I don't really know much about it. I haven't read what I consider to be meaningful scientific backup on this, but I got a feeling something very strange is going on here, and that's the subject of chemtrails. What's going on out there?
You know, that's a real mess. Nobody even wants to talk about it. It's so ugly, and people that are talking about it are having some extreme difficulties. Have you gone to Carnicom's site or William Thomas's site?
No, I haven't. I'm intimately familiar with the FAA. I was almost an owner of an airline once, and I went through a lot of training in the FAA and FARs, and I can tell you, fuel that goes into these jetliners that leave these contrails up in the sky is very, very highly regulated. I mean, they take samples of it and weigh it and analyze it, and it's under maximum security behind what's called Part 121 and Part 135 regulations. And I got to tell you, if something's going on there, it's happening on an official level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, what I understand, too, is that we've seen my experience with chemtrails, went back to quite a few years ago. We actually went on the local station, Channel 11, and I brought a blood scientist, a woman that was working on, the blood chemistry, and we actually had William Thomas on the show. We had a lot of people on the show, and it was showing several things going on. One, it was showing that definitely there was a huge amount of aluminum oxide and barium being spread, you know, in the skies above us, and they were going off the scale, sometimes 10 times beyond what is, you know, deemed harmful. And so that is just one thing, and that has a very serious side effect. You know, the aluminum creates Alzheimer's, the barium creates muscle pain, gastrointestinal problems, joint pain. It has all kinds of really negative side effects. But that's just two of the main ingredients that they're finding in these chemtrails. They're also finding mycoplasms. And when they were doing blood workup of people that were exposed to heavy chemtrails, they seemed to be full of these mycoplasms, which were, you know, bioengineered little creatures that were part fungus, part bacteria, or part virus and part fungus and things like that. And you could tell they were definitely came out of labs. They also found human red blood cells in these chemtrails. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, why in the heck would human red blood cells be raining down, you know, on the people if they weren't carriers of something? So, you know, when you look at the overwhelming evidence, there's so many levels to what's going on with this chemtrail thing. It's really hard to nail down. You know, definitely there is an aerosol spraying program. The FAA did admit it was going on. high-level people did come forward and said, yes, you know, there is a joint U.S.-Canadian aerosol spraying program going on, and people have tested what is raining down on them, and it's not a pretty picture. And what I've seen is that, you know, I have friends that are physicists, biophysicists, chemical engineers, and things of that nature, and they are upset, and they're demanding answers, and they can't get any. You know, they're talking to senators, they're talking to people in the environmental protection agency, all these people, the EPA, they can't get any answers whatsoever other than there's nothing going on, which is ridiculous because the evidence is there that something is going on. But, you know, overall, I don't see in any way whatsoever how these biologicals or chemicals could be in the highest and best good of anybody. And whoever's involved in this process is creating some very, very serious complications on the earth, you know, down to genocide. You know, so it's that simple, basically. There's no good that can come of this process. Whatever they're saying it is, you know, some people are saying it's for over the horizon radar. You know, other people are saying that, you know, they have all these different, to, you know, protect us against HAARP and things like that. Actually, you would know more about that. If they were dropping these particles, wouldn't that accelerate HAARP, the effects of HAARP?
Not necessarily. One of the inventions for HAARP was to manipulate the Marconi effect. The Defense Department was using what's called extremely low frequencies, bouncing them off the ionosphere for over-the-horizon communication with submarines. Submarines let out a long wire behind them close to the surface and pick up encoded messages. And they didn't want eavesdropping, and they also couldn't communicate with submarines under certain conditions because the ionosphere wasn't cooperating. So HAARP was developed to sort of push the ionosphere out into space, forming a parabolic mirror off of which they could aim these extremely low-frequency communication signals. Now, if there's another reflective surface, say, in the upper atmosphere where these jets fly, which is about 8 miles up, the ionosphere is about 60 kilometers up, it would actually create another reflector, kind of like those blocker games that you play.
Yes.
The beam would go up to the ionosphere, bounce off, come down, and instead of going through that aluminum oxide cloud, it would bounce off of it and go back up to the ionosphere, which I don't think would be the desired effect.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, some people are saying that they're trying to create, you know, everybody into a human antenna by, you know, ingesting all of these metals or whatever. And, you know, that's beyond my physics. I'm not sure if that would actually happen. I see how it is, you know, possible. But, you know, I can't really.
What do you say, Ramon?
The one thing I keep hearing is two different versions. One is that it's actually used to, so the weather, so they can, they follow the weather, and the satellites will follow these supposedly filings of aluminum. And they can follow the weather pattern. And the other version was to cool down the Earth against the global warming. And supposedly this is why we have such a cold winter this year. I don't know how true that is. That's all rumors.
Well, both of those make sense. It's sort of like a dye dropped into the sky. So you can see what the jet stream's doing and thus know how to aim HAARP. Mm-hmm. And the other is that high-level clouds, and usually these are very high-level cirrus clouds, usually 8 to 10 miles up, they do absorb solar energy, preventing it from hitting the ground and warming up the Earth. And it does usually result in a cooler Earth. But
That still doesn't explain why it would have red blood cells in it and all these other things.
Yeah. Yeah, those are inexplicable. There's another thing, too, is that I know that that has very, very serious side effects, what they are spraying up there. You know, what comes up must come down. You know, it's pretty basic. But at the same time, you know, there's no oversight on any of this stuff. And I know I watched that Jesse Ventura special on HARP, and they're actually saying that they could project thoughts and emotions and things with that device, you know, to people on the ground. And who knows? Maybe that's why they might be using this as a medium for some kind of mind control. You know, I've heard theories about that as well. But any way you look at it, they're very toxic chemicals and the mycoplasms and they're finding Pseudomonas and all these weird flus, bacteria in there and viruses and things. So basically, any way you look at it, whatever's raining down on the people is not good. And whether it's an experiment or they're doing it under the national defense or something, you know, in the interest of national security and the health and well-being of the people, they should put an end to this immediately because it is having some very severe side effects on the people.
Well, now that I think about it, it could be kind of innocent, James, and I'll tell you why. In the old days, back in the 70s, we used to use JP4, which was not very safe. Nowadays, we use a much safer fuel called Jet A, which is a rather benign kerosene. And, it's not poisonous in the sense that if you had a cut or something like that, you could actually immerse yourself in it, and it would actually help you heal. And one of the problems that they have in the fueling systems of these jets is bacteria, because this is just organic liquid, and it's kind of a medium for certain bacteria to grow. And it very well could harbor viruses. And I got to tell you, the fuel's kept at a pretty good temperature, and it's certainly oxygenated, and it really, and in some cases anaerobic, because the wings are completely full, and the center tank is completely full. And they are finding erosion of the fuel tank linings, where it's eaten away by the bacteria that lives in the fuel.
Uh-huh.
So it could be that they need to practice disinfecting the fuel before they use it.
Yeah, it might be a good idea. All I know is that, we have to ask where the barium and the aluminum is coming from. And that's pretty nasty stuff. That's some kind of an additive that they're spraying. And I'm watching these. It's not commercial jets. I'm watching these tankers. And they did a big survey on this, and people watched these tankers, and they're flying at probably, I would say, watching them fly here, they're flying around 7,000 to 10,000 feet. They weren't way up there at 30,000.
That's pretty low.
And they would come in, and they would do some heavy spraying, and the whole sky would go from, sky blue to toxic gray. And people would start getting sick, and this school here had, after some heavy chemtrail spraying, they had 60% of the kids out with severe flu-like symptoms.
You think they're actually dumping raw fuel into the air, or is it burning?
No, I think they're spraying this other barium and aluminum and whatever else they're putting in their biologicals and just kind of experimenting or playing with the people. Another case we had here, they came in very, very low and sprayed, and it was at night, and we watched these tankers come in real low over the ranch, and then we walked out the next day and our chickens were flat out. I mean, they were like totally paralyzed. And what was strange is that the roosters, we had two roosters, the roosters died, the chickens pulled out of it, and I took it to a vet. I took one of the chickens to a vet to say, hey, can you tell me what's going on here? And she said, there was some kind of a nerve agent or something, that got to them. And she didn't know exactly what it was, but her best guess was it was some kind of a nerve agent. And the people here, we all started experiencing pain on the right side of our chest, from the sprain. From my own personal experience, whatever they're doing isn't good. I don't know why they're doing it, if it's population control or if it's some kind of lame, half-baked experiment that they didn't think all the way through. But, any way you look at it, it's has some very toxic side effects. And I would really rather just have the clear blue sky and overheating planet,
Well, Let's see if Jane has something to add to that. Jane, you're on the program. Jane, are you there?
I'm a friend of Mary Sutherland, whom you know.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Anyways, I've photographed chemtrails from Hawaii to the UK.
Okay.
And the one in the UK was an inadvertent thing. I went back and I looked and I went, oh, my God, that's a chemtrail. Today they were spraying here. I live out in the desert west of Phoenix. And they were spraying. And one of the things that I've noticed was they are essentially covering the sun. Then usually after they do the spraying, if you pay attention, there's a weather change within a few days, which is, I think, quite interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. They used to say when the space shuttle launched, within a day it would rain, and it would just rain for days. Now, that's a lot of hydrogen peroxide dumped into the air in one local place, but it's
yeah,
sort of...
yeah, that's for sure. I forget where I heard it, but I've been doing it. I know Don Nikoloff.
Oh, I think we lost Jane.
Yeah, I got lost too, and I got back on again. I don't know what's going on.
Oh well.
Somebody's having fun with the connections.
They might be messing with us.
So, yeah.
What do you think about that? About that? Do you think they're systematically crisscrossing the sky to try to block out the sun in certain areas? Do you think they're trying to do geoforming or something?
You know, I don't know exactly what they're doing, but or why they're doing it. But I know they are doing it, and we watch them here just constantly. And what I noticed too is before a weather pattern is coming in, right ahead of the weather pattern, they lay down a huge grid every time, and they let the weather bring it in. And so there's something that they're utilizing the moisture and the weather. They need it to incubate something, or I don't know what they're doing, but they always lay down. As soon as they lay down a heavy grid, you go, okay, we're going to have bad weather here within the next 2 or 3 days. And sure enough, you know, the winds, right after they lay their grid, the winds kick on, and then here comes a big storm right behind it. So
The weird thing is that jets and their connections between cities, jets, I don't know if people know this or not, they're not allowed to fly inside the United States by GPS. They still have to fly by what's called navigational aids. That means that if a jet's going from, say, New York to Portland, he has to fly in the jetway, or in the skyway, from airport to airport across the country. He can't just set a straight course and go across the country, because GPS is just not that reliable inside the United States, and we haven't made the switch over to it. We don't have the traffic control system to handle jets by GPS. So they're all done by skyways. And I got to tell you, the skyways are not a crisscross pattern. They're just like freeways in the sky. So if they're doing crisscross patterns, this is definitely designed. It's not the way that the skyways are laid out.
Oh, yeah, there's definite crisscross patterns. There's X patterns you can see. We watch these huge tankers that are spraying these chemtrails go from horizon to horizon. And at the same time, we watch regular airliners go up through them, you know, with the small contrail that dissipates in, you know, 12 seconds or so, very short. And you know, you would think they're in the same elevation, the same atmosphere, everything, that they would be leaving a big contrail too, but they're not. They're leaving very short ones. And it's undeniable. And we've actually watched these huge tanker planes make U-turns and turn around and go back the other way. And you know, how many airlines do you know make a U-turn up in the sky and turn around and go back to where they came from?
Well, I mean, airlines don't do that. But military planes fly a mission, that's called a sortie.
Yeah.
And what they do is they fly a pattern that is a rehearsal pattern for another country. So they'll take off from, say, Grand Forks, North Dakota, and they'll fly to Anchorage as a test pattern for flying between two other targets. Uh-huh. And they will fly at low altitude sometimes 5,000 feet, although slowly, so they can be nice and quiet. But they don't typically fly these crisscross patterns. That's very hard for the navigational aids to handle. I don't know how many times you've flown cross country, but it's rather disconcerting when you're whipping along at 575 miles an hour, say at a 757, and right underneath you, not 200 feet below you, another jet crosses right under you. I mean, not a mile ahead or a mile behind. I mean, right under you. These planes are supposed to be at least a mile across in the sky. But I fly a lot of miles, and I can tell you, pilots must communicate with each other and say, well, I'm at 37,500, and the guy says, well, I'm at 37,000, and I'm going north, and you're going west. So we're going to miss each other by 500 feet. That's plenty.
Yeah.
And they just whip through it.
Well, you know, I've seen, too, is that when I've been flying a lot, you know, being on the circuit and talking at all the conferences and everything, which I've kind of stepped out of for various reasons. I'd love to talk about those. But, you know, basically, while I was flying, I was watching these chemtrail planes lay out these huge X patterns and the commercial planes going right through them. And, you know, it's funny, you start to smell it. When your commercial plane you're on starts going through it, all of a sudden you start getting a little scratch in your throat and everything else. And they're flying right through the middle of these big chemtrails as they're coming down.
One of my listeners who writes in a lot, Alex, from the Salt Lake area, he says, I believe that barium was going to be administered to the astronauts on Earth to the Mars trips to keep male and female crew from fighting over each other on the trip, because it temporarily causes, well, not sterility, but it's like saltpeter used to be administered to troops to keep them focused on what they were doing instead of focused on the French women.
Well, that goes back to population control.
Does barium dull the libido?
Well, I guess it does, you know, because I know when you expose people to high doses of that, you know, it makes things pretty dysfunctional down in that area. But you know, definitely that's probably part of it. You know, they're probably trying to sterilize as many people, get the, you know, all goes under the global, you know, get the population down, New World Order program, because you know, apparently. You know, Dennis Kucinich actually wrote a bill trying to stop the chemtrails from happening and, you know, for disclosure as to what they are and why they're doing it. And, you know, he wrote it, he submitted it, and the next thing you know, he pulled it back, and that was erased out of the bill.
Wow.
So basically, you know, a lot of senators know what's going on. It's something that is so top secret, nobody wants to talk about it. And it might be something so ugly that, you know, they don't want to know about it or whatever. Or the forces that are carrying this out might be so powerful, everybody's afraid to say anything about it. But I know one senator looked into it, a local one here, and they asked, you know, what was going on with these chemtrails. And she tried to get down to the bottom of it, and she actually talked to somebody like a general in the Air Force and said, look, what's going on? You know, people are asking me. And he basically told her, he said, look, if you want to continue in your career, if you want to continue in a nice, safe life, you and your family, I would suggest you drop this immediately and don't even ask. And she did.
Now, would that be Senator Maria Cantwell? She's kind of she's very eco-friendly. I know that. She came by and visited our plant.
One of the engineers, the chemical engineers, was working with one of the senators. It probably was her. I can't say exactly that it was her. I'm not exactly sure. But he was telling me that his phone conversation with one of them was he said basically, you know, she tried to look into it, and, you know, basically they said, you know, forget it. Don't even think about going there.
Yeah, well, I know she does take things to Washington, and I also know that they don't go very far because she's not really dealing with politicians in Washington. She's dealing with bureaucracies.
Yeah.
And those of you that still have, still adhere to the fairy tale that we actually elect our government, we're both laughing.
Yeah, it's installed.
The United States government is not elected. It's a loose coalition of bureaucracies fighting over the same checkbook. The people that we elect, the 435 members that we send to Washington every 2 years, is only the figureheads, the talking heads, and they only control a very, very small amount of the budget. Laws that they pass become emasculated with the next elected crew that goes up there. I can tell you that if you really want to make change, you're going to have to flush Washington. You're just going to have to find a small town in America with 435 adults in it and elect them to Congress.
Yep.
Just replace them all. End the legacy. End it.
Yeah, I just don't see. It's gotten so far gone. It's beyond repair. You know, it can't. It's gotten so corrupt and so messed up. I just don't think it's fixable. Yeah.
I was listening to Leonard Cohen's song today. I wasn't a Leonard Cohen fan. I just got turned on to a couple pieces, and I got to tell you, the lyrics are so profound. He says, let the cracks form, because that's how the light gets in.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we think we have this impervious armor, which is the sovereignty of and the faith and credit of the United States of America, maybe it's time that these things that cannot succeed, that continuously fail, like the banking systems and what we're about to talk about, the disease profiteers,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's time to just let them fail.
Let the
companies go out of business. Anyway, we're going to open up the phone lines now, so we've got about an hour and a half left. It's 415-762-1161. That's 415-762-1161. Now, if you've got anything to add on the chemtrails, on disease profiteers, this is what we're talking about this hour. There seems to be an unbelievable urge, and it's not just Democrats doing it. It's more liberals. It's more the people who want to get into your private life and control how healthy you are. Roughly 85% of the country has some effective method of insurance. Either they have a local doc in a box with the nurse practitioners that they work with, they have a hospital system that oversees that, or they have insurance through their work, or they have insurance through a small business insurance, or they just take care of the health care when they get sick, which is what I did when I raised my four kids. I spent about, I'm going to say $20,000 over a 25-year period. And that includes the birth of the babies, okay? If I would have paid for health insurance for that same 25 years, it would have cost me about $120,000. So by my guess, by my calculations, I'm about 90 grand ahead of the game. In other words, I was able to pay for a house in the same 25 years instead of paying for insurance. I could afford health care, but I couldn't afford insurance. Now the system is such that last 15% that's not insured and has a lot of health problems and for which we seem to be footing the bill because they just walk into the emergency rooms and get treated, they have created this behemoth health care bill that is going to take over about 14% of the gross national product of the country. And this ostensibly to lower healthcare costs. When have you ever seen the government get into anything that lowered cost? So let's kick off this half hour by letting Mark from Albuquerque join us. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brooks. Good evening. Hello, James. How are you
Hello,
doing?
Hello, how are you doing? Doing great.
Great. Following your conversation with interest.
Well, Mark lives he lives smack dab in the middle of flyover country, so he probably can see all this stuff.
I've experienced the aerosols and how can I say this? It is what it is, whatever it is. I do when it comes within my attention, put my intent to clear the skies and make it only that which is healthy and helpful for all living creatures. Whether it's because of that or not, I know that a circle of clearness forms and expands and expands and expands until the skies are clear. We have so much potential as beings to affect what's around us. And if you're doing it for someone else, it's so much more powerful. That's how I deal with it. I don't worry about it, but if it comes into my attention, I say, okay, well, wait a minute, let's stop this crap. So I don't know what you think about that.
Well, it sounds a little bit like Drunvilla Melchizedek. He talked about some technology that he had in Colorado Springs that he used, or maybe it was Boulder, Colorado, where they cleared the sky, basically using a consciousness amplifier. And it worked. I mean, just like you said, Mark, a circle opened up and it got wider and wider and wider, and the pollution just went away.
If that has worked there,
just, you know, how many people are there that are tired of this and don't want to be victims and just say, we've had enough? No, stop it. Not because of me, but because of all the living creatures that it affects. Stop. And also call in those that we call our friends and brothers to assist us in that. And there you go.
Yeah, we've had that happen here. We've had, it looked like these vortex vacuum cleaners came in and all the chemtrails were sucked up into these little mini vortexes that, you know, looked like little mini tornadoes and then disappeared. And some of the higher beings got involved in that one. But I know we, as a collective, that's something we could do, but it sure would be nice for them just to stop doing it and for the people to say, hey, look, you know, we're not into this technology anymore. I don't care if you think you're defending the country or whatever. The whole globe has to get together and just say, you know, you guys have gone way over the line here, you know, in your defense projects, and you're creating some very, very nasty repercussions and things, and it's time to stop. And I think that's what's going to happen. You know, like this healthcare thing. You know, let's just take a little tiny sliver out of the Defense Department and pay for everybody's healthcare. look at the bazillion dollars going there.
Oh, it's $1.03 trillion is the defense budget for 2010. $1.03 trillion. Who are we fighting, James? Where the heck is the army?
Yeah, that you need that many $1 trillion. You know, we've got this guy. I don't know if you saw that thing from BBC. It was quite interesting. But they had all these guys come on BBC, and it went all over the headlines. And it was in their news and everything. And they talked about the myth of bin Laden and how he never really had any kind of a formidable army. He never had all these sleeper cells. All of this stuff didn't exist, and that we actually created all the negativity by perpetuating this war and, you know, going into other countries, and you know, we're the ones that created the terrorists. But it was really good. But they did a whole special on it, and they said all of the information that they were given about, you know, Al-Qaeda was false. and that there were no major underground facilities. There were, it showed Rumsfeld showing them, look, here's our intelligence. Here's this underground basically city where he lives, where he operates from, and we have to go clean this out. And is multi-tiered, multi-layered underground places, and they never existed. And, you know, the English were over there, and they were busting down caves and going into cave after cave after cave trying to find this illusionary place, and none of the intelligence panned out, just like the weapons of mass destruction never panned out. But, you know, here over in the States, we get this huge picture of this mastermind, you know, multi-billionaire mastermind with this giant organization and everything else. Well, it turns out it didn't exist. And the BBC are the people over there are very kind of pissed off about being sucked into this war and getting involved in it. And we aren't hearing anything about that over here in the States.
Interesting. I know that in the news in Pakistan, there have been several bombings that have been just, you know, devastating. I mean, just unbelievable civilian damage. It appears that the enemy of man is man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, to me, you know, you really think rational about it. When you go into another country and you start killing people, you know, it's like everybody was all upset because the CIA guys got killed. And all these Canadian troops, and they got killed over there in Afghanistan or whatever. And you know, you go, well, when you sign up to go over to another country and kill people, things like that happen. you know, it's like, what would happen if they signed up and came over here to kill people in the U.S.? Would we be the terrorists? You know, would we, in their eyes, yes, we would. So, yeah. I mean, we need to look at that.
Nobody's supposed to know the CIA is there.
Yeah. Well, they just lost, I think, 8 of their people. But, you know, basically, yes, there, if you go to another country, you know, like the troops that are coming back, almost all of them are saying we shouldn't even be there. They go, I don't even know why we're there. They go, they don't want us there. They don't.
Well, it depends on where you go. I mean, a lot of the troops in the Baghdad area are coming back saying that, they really need to finish their job. I mean, they've set up schools, they've hung power lines, they've redone water lines, they've put in water treatment centers, they've got pipelines going, all the roads are fixed. Baghdad, I wouldn't mind going to Baghdad now. I want to see the museums there. I can't wait till they open it up again. It's becoming the city of glory that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I just think that there are neighboring factions that don't want Baghdad to become a city of cooperation and commerce. Two businesses have been so hot in Baghdad that you can't ship enough of the stuff in. Satellite dishes and cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you, when you start letting a people communicate, letting a people access the internet, conflict is going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, there's some things I agree upon, but other things I just don't think, you know, when you look at the overall, they did polls, 94, 96, very high number of people said, you know, get out of Iraq. We don't want to be there. We're done with it. You know, the people said, you know, forget it. So when you have numbers like that, you have to start asking who is the government, who did they represent, and why are we there? When you've got numbers like minimal 94% of the people say, you know, we're done with it. We don't want the war in Iraq anymore. We want out. Well, and when you have a president that says that, hey, I'm coming in because I'm going to pull everybody out of Iraq and I'm going to end this war, and then he escalates both of them, you know, you have to ask yourself.
He didn't realize, and I'm sure most of the American people don't realize, that we're building the largest Air Force base in the world in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, of course. Which goes back to funding and war industry and, you know, back to money. You know, it all, you know, it's a huge money maker, and they don't want to end that program.
What's that, Mark? Mm-hmm. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Now what is the, what's the embassy's function in Baghdad?
That's, I think it's Disneyland for the New World Order.
Yeah, and what they're paying and the security they're using, which isn't U.S. forces, it's U.S. mercenaries. I don't care if they call them contractors or not. They are mercenaries, and they only use the name contractors because mercenaries against the law. But I'll tell you what, if the people of the United States really knew the true numbers of American servicemen and women who have died in Iraq and Afghanistan, it would end tomorrow. People would be out in the streets. The numbers are manipulated. 4,000? Give me a break. It's closer to the numbers of Vietnam. But as soon as someone's taken off the battlefield and goes into a hospital, they're no longer a combat death. That's the manipulation.
Well, and I know there have been a lot of injuries. I have friends that have served 3 tours over there and haven't been injured, but they've sure seen a lot of injuries.
That's right. And a lot of them are people that die. But they're not combat deaths. They're not counted as combat deaths. And look it up. Do the research. I'm not going to get into this because it's a dangerous subject to get into because of the lies involved. But I'm going to say this, that if the people knew, there would be protests in the street. The servicemen and women know. That's why they want to stay there and finish the job, because so many of their friends have died or gotten wounded seriously enough that they ended up dying. And then the revenge factor comes in. It's a shame. We shouldn't be there. As James has said, I agree with most of what James has said. And all I can say is we need loving, open hearts to all peoples. And that's where we should be coming from. That's what most people in the United States thinks we are. But that's not how our government acts. And I'm sorry about that. And I still love my country. But by God, it has to be by God, because it's not by God right now or any kind of goodness that we are doing what we're doing. And I love you both. I'm going to let you kind of get off the line. Let you guys
all right, Mark. Thanks for coming on. Well, you know, we've heard the word one world order tonight. Let's see, I've got a very close friend here. Christina is saying, according to international law experts, the invasion and ongoing occupation of Afghanistan is as illegal as the U.S. presence is in Iraq. The United Nations Charter mandates that military force against another country is only justified when used in self-defense or authorized by the UN Security Council. She's absolutely right. The invasion of Afghanistan was not legitimate self-defense under Article 51 of the UN Charter, because the attacks on September 11, 2001 were criminal attacks, not armed attacks by another country. Afghanistan did not attack the United States. In fact, 15 of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. And that's Marjorie Cohn, President, National Lawyers Guild.
All right, Marjorie.
We didn't invade Saudi Arabia.
I know. Well, that's what I mean. The whole premise for going over there, first of all, was illegal. Second of all, there were no weapons of mass destruction. Third of all, Iraq had absolutely nothing, zilch, to do with the bombing of the Trade Center, which they were implicated in. You know, I can go on and on and on. The bottom line is, you know, Saddam Hussein said, hey, I'm going to stop using U.S. dollars to back oil here, you know, and I'm going to start selling oil to other countries and things like that. And that's pretty much why he went down. It had nothing to do with anything else other than that. And we're fooling ourselves if we try to, you know, add all these other things that the media painted on him, which were totally false. I mean, there is very clear that Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden were not friends. As a matter of fact, they were enemies. They did not get along whatsoever.
And, I think you're right. I think bin Laden was an aristocrat.
Yeah.
And of a different sect than than Saddam Hussein.
Exactly.
And Saddam Hussein was probably you know, very brutal and was oppressive to his country. And
yeah,
you know, I think eventually the people would have risen up. But that's exactly why they had the Republican Guard, was to keep the people suppressed. Now, I don't know if Iraq is better off now than they were under Saddam Hussein. They probably are, because women can now go to school and kids can go to school and they have clean water and now they have electricity most of the days. I don't know if you read today's news, but Cesar Chavez is now talking about rationing electricity in Venezuela, this country that's got such bountiful oil. He has not been taking the revenue from the oil and helping the country, but rather helping himself. And it seems to be resonating around the world like that. You have the people of Iraq have tried to express their displeasure with the president of Iran. I'm sorry, did I say Iraq? I meant Iran. I think, as we were talking in the first hour, there's an underlying current of feeling that we are quick becoming earthlings and not so much national sovereign nations that have traditionally hated each other. Now, that being said, I still think there's a cat and dog thing going on here. You know, cats and dogs can be made to lie down together. But there seems to be an almost genetic conflict going on between certain peoples in the Middle East. Somebody asked me the other day, if you had any wish, what would you wish for? And I said, well, I was going to say world peace, but I think I would just say peace in the Middle East. And she said, well, if you have peace in the Middle East, you're going to have peace in the world. What we need to do is we need to empower the people with the means to be independent from that system. With more electric cars, for instance, and alternative heating systems, we'd need no more to invade those countries for oil. We'd be using oil for what it's supposed to be used for, durable goods, plastics and rubbers and polymers and coatings, things that last and last and last. Why in the world are we sitting here in the 21st century shoveling it into our fuel tanks and burning it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, none of it makes sense whatsoever, other than, you know, enslaving people through dependency and keeping that hierarchical program going. I mean, that is, you know, basically, I love what one of the masters I study with, he said, you know, there's never, ever been a holy war. He said, wars are only because one king or leader wants what another leader has. And if you use that premise and look at every single war throughout history, that really was the foundation of it. So what did they have that we wanted? Oil, basically, you know, and, you know, how dare they, you know, put their country on top of our oil? You know, that's the way people think, you know.
A lot of people realize that the United States only has 2% of the world's oil reserves. And yet we use about 20 to 25% of the world's oil supply. Now, up until 20 years ago, we really didn't have a lot of competition for that oil use. But now we have China, who is coming on strong, and India right behind her, now starting to compete for that oil usage. Now, we, as a technology leader, we should have 4 to 10 million electric vehicles on the road now. We should be using far less petroleum now. And what's happening is the exact opposite.
Exactly.
India and China are both launching million car per year efforts to get electric vehicles on the road. The last time I was in China, when you see the traffic come across the intersection, whether you're in Chengdu or Shanghai or Beijing, it's 80% electric.
Oh, I agree.
Motorcycles are now electric. They don't have any, very, very few gasoline-powered motorcycles anymore.
Mm-hmm. Where you can import those. Yeah, I've got a guy that up here in Trout Lake, actually, that was going to import some electric trucks and a couple other, you know, vehicles for his huge farming operation. And, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, the technology, how far ahead it is, how he could run his most of his program on these, and was asking me if I wanted to chip in and get one, you know, and I said, yeah, get to me on that, get me the information. But I think it's very, very hard to get them in the country, even though they're there, and he was there and observed it like you did and everything else. I think it's very hard.
You can get a country, but they got to stay off-road. They got to be less than 5 miles per hour, and they're difficult to get titled. And we have Gail from Tennessee on line one. Welcome to the program, Gail.
Doing. This is a little off topic, but I think that I can tie all in what you guys are talking about right now. Hi, James.
That's what we need.
Hi.
And it's in relationship to the movie Avatar. I bet I've watched that thing. I'm going to saw it probably 5 times. I'm really telling on myself here. But I'm so intrigued with the storyline.
Hey,
and, you know, back tracing our roots back to the Anunnaki, through the Palladians, back to the Syrians. In fact, I found a correlation with the Nave people. With it brought to mind the picture that I saw on your website, James, a long time ago, of one of the cat beings.
Yes.
But they're
uh-huh.
Syrian, just like we have the Sphinx in Egypt.
Yes.
And, yeah. These are Syrians, and plus they are known as a blue race. We're not the Nave blue. So finally, Hollywood's getting something right. But then go on further when they talk about Shehelu and making the bond with the animals. Okay, Shehelu, Halo. Would that not be your aura? Your aura bond connects with the animals that are indigenous to the planet. That they are so highly evolved, but then here comes the humans from Earth. And the storyline that I get is that we're going to do the same thing to them that we've done to indigenous people in our timeline here on this planet. And, you know, it was interesting when the guy bent down to the tree right before they were, you know, going to go into battle, try to keep the planet. And, you know, he said, take a look. If you can see through Grace's, she's with you. Look at her memories. That this is a dying planet that they come from, and it's brown. It's no longer green, and they killed their mother, and many will come here and they will kill you, because Iowa, I guess, was female, as far as the sense of God. So I want you guys' opinion on what some of the things that synopsis I have come up with about Avatar. I absolutely love this movie.
I did too. Go ahead. James.
Well, I agree 100%. That's why I brought it up.
The Earth.
Yeah.
And it wasn't their tail. It was their head. It was the hair on their head that had the little cilia that connected into things. And the planet was bioluminescent. As they walked on it, it glowed underneath their footprints. And, you know, there was just this incredible uplifting feeling as they battled against the armies of technology to save what the outsiders thought was a very primitive planet, but turned out to be a very, very advanced relationship between the beings.
I think that's
another
way.
Thing too.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, basically, I think that was the way that this, you know, civilization was, you might say, the direction that we were supposed to be taking. And that's what I hear a lot from the off-worlders when they come in. They said that basically the Earth was supposed to be an Eden where everybody lived in harmony with each other and the environment and evolved to their highest potential. And that's what was set into motion in the beginning and got hijacked by lower forms or lower consciousness, you might say, or souls that were lesser evolved that started coming in. And that same story you hear over and over again about how, you know, our evolution got hijacked, and now it's being hijacked by people that, you know, are the heads of these major corporations. And we talked earlier about Avatar. I mentioned it too as well, because the whole storyline is exactly what people need to realize right now. Is this is where we're going, this is what we're doing to the planet, this is who's doing it. And if we don't take our power back and stop, you know, giving the corporations the military might to go impress their will on other countries and other people, that we are going to destroy our planet.
Mm-hmm. And we're there.
Oh, we're definitely
there.
We're
at a crossroads. One other thing I wanted to bring up about in my synopsis is, you know, at the beginning of the movie that, what was he, Colonel, that Mr. G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
what a wonderful individual. That's definitely a military brainwashing job there.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, he was there lifting the weights and everything, talking about how slow gravity was there on that planet. Well, it's my understanding that at one point, after the Big Bang Theory or whatever, when the Earth was slowing down, we had a much slower gravity than we do today, and it caused things to grow to be much bigger. So that would be why the Na'vi were 8 and 10 feet tall. They had a much slower gravity. What's you guys' take on that?
Hmm. Well, it makes perfect sense to me, and I like the naturally occurring carbon fiber in their bones. That was pretty
yeah.
Yeah.
I want some of that in my bones.
Made of
even. I'm going to listen to you guys offline because I'm having a really rough time hearing you guys. You're really breaking up on the phone lines here. So I'll listen off air. But those are some of the points of the movie. And anything else you guys can add? You know, every time you watch it, there's more that starts to connect. Not only on the physical aspect of just the whole movie as a whole, but the etherical level, too. And,
right.
and the really in-depth message that somebody's trying to tell us who are awake and aware out there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I'll listen offline. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, Gail. Hang with me, James. We'll take a quick 2-minute break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Looking Mother Nature on the run in the 21st century. Well, I was lying in a burned-up basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band playing in my head, and I felt like getting. I was thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceship fly in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and colors flying all around the chosen one. All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun.
Hour number 3 of X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. The phone lines are open, 415-762-1161. My guest tonight is James Gilliland. We were just talking about the movie Avatar, and one thing I noticed in my times watching the movie, and by the way, I'm buying the DVD so I can watch it 5 times a week and then come up to speed on it. One thing I found was missing. Yes, they bonded with the Earth. Yes, they bonded with animals, but they left out the part where they bonded with each other. They showed the love scene. It only lasted about a minute underneath the one tree, but they left out the rest of the love scene. That's what I'm looking forward to coming out in the DVD version. By the way, there's a great website out there. If you want to catch up on some of this stuff and you want to find out how you can get involved, and you can get involved anonymously or you can get involved very vocally. Here's the website. We're going to put it up on the website, too. It is courageToResist.org/X. CourageToResist.org/X. By the way, the United States of America is number one in one thing, taxes. So have the courage to resist. It's motivated by a people power strategy that we believe can weaken the pillars that maintain war and occupation in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere by supporting GI resistance, counter-recruitment, and draft resistance. We hope to diminish the number of troops available for unjust war and occupation. Kind of going back to a little Beatles mentality. Somebody said, what would happen if they gave a war and nobody came? Welcome back, James.
Oh, good to be back.
Well, you know, one of the things that we see, and I go to conferences and so do you, but you also have conferences up there in Trout Lake, Washington. If you want to find out more about that, you can go to ECETI, that's ECETI.org, and get yourself involved. There's lots of activities going up there all year long. The big one is in July. It's a big conference. Some of the best speakers in the world come to this very highly energetic place to speak. And it's not the best kept secret in the world. The word is getting out. And hundreds of people come there every year, and it's not the same people every time. So if you haven't been there, make your way up there. One of the things that we notice is that we hear a lot of talk about how evil and how bad one world government is. But really, when we're talking about one world government, we're not talking about one world dictator. We're talking about one planet here. So how do you envision this happening, James? You're very highly connected, and you speak to a lot of very eclectic, very open-minded, very possessionless people. How do we go about accomplishing this one planet mentality?
You know, I think that's where we're evolving to anyway, is one world government. But it won't be the government that is trying to be installed right now. It's going to be, you know, a government that is focused on the universal principles and understandings that are necessary for a healthy planet and society. And, you know, we all know what those are. They're written in the heart of hearts of all of us. And, you know, basically it's universal peace, brother-sister love, you know, individual freedom and prosperity for everyone. You know, basic God-given human rights, you might say, and not an elitist program where just a few will, you know, govern the many and kind of use them as cannon fodder or, you know, slavery, basically, which is what the system is based on now.
Yeah, it feels to me like we have a self-perpetuating, permanently employed government. Our leaders come out and say, okay, we need to form this new agency, and it's only going to last for about 4 years while we clean up this mess. And 40 years later, it's still there.
Yeah.
You know, and it never goes away. It becomes self-perpetuating. So how do we, the people, from a non-governmental point of view, and we're talking about what's typically been called a bloodless revolution. Mm-hmm. This is where it's massive one people rejection of a government trying to rule over the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I don't know if we're ready yet, because, you know, when I look around and I look at the conflict that's out there, it's not governmental. It's religious. It's genetic. Mm. You know, Shiites hate Sunnis and Palestinians hate Jews. And, you know, what in the world is going on here? Why can't we set that aside and evolve?
You know, I think when people start getting more educated, like you're saying, the internet and other things, and And each new wave of people coming in are more plugged in and educated, you might say. And, you know, they've come from higher planes and dimensions and incarnated, you know, into the earth right now. So, I mean, there's a big movement and just a massive force of higher consciousness and energy that's pressing hard that, you know, is giving people the big aha, you know, inside, you know, that this old program just doesn't work anymore. I find it ironic if you really look at the history, you know, of the Jewish culture, Abraham, you know, their beginning, you know, their father of all fathers or whatever, you know, he came out of Iraq. He was Babylonian, you know, and people in the United States were all going, oh, we've got to wipe out, you know, Iraq is the evil land and this and that and everything else. Well, you know, that was that was his temple. That's where he was originated. So, you know, if we're doing a holy war against the evil empire, we actually just destroyed the base root of that whole group, you know. So,
you know, I've found over time that basically when it comes to what I want to do, what I want to explore, what I think is cool, what I think is number one, I'm America. I mean, I'm so average. I'm so typical of the habits and desires and the likes and dislikes of the American people. I can tell you what movie's going to be number one. I can tell you what song is going to be number one. And not because I'm a guru, but because I'm in the mass. I mean, I'm connected to whatever that popularity streak is. And right now, I really want to go to Baghdad. I want to tour those streets. I want to see those museums with stuff that nobody in the West has seen for decades. And if I want to do it, then that means there are hundreds of thousands of people all over the world that want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And the Iraqi people would open their arms to that kind of commerce.
Oh, they probably would. You know, I wouldn't doubt it in a minute. You know, but there, you know, you really think about it, there are, you know, we talk about that over and over. There's kind of a genetic program going on, you know, where certain groups or cultures actually hate, and it's been going on for thousands of years, and have extreme grudges against, you know, other cultures. And what I say, you know, is talk about the Pleiadians and the higher beings. They make it very clear that we need to release the past and we need to let go of those old grudges and those old programs and you know, heal that, let go of it and move forward. And, you know, some of those old grudges and programs are held by entire cultures. Some are just individual. You know, it doesn't matter. I know the kids don't hold those programs. They have to be taught, you know, the grudges and the other things, you know, later. They don't understand it. You know, throw a bunch of kids together in the playground and throw a ball out, you know, they don't care, you know, what's going on. You know, they're all going to play ball or whatever or something, you know. But I think we need to go back to, you know, one of the major prophets, like Jesus said, you know, become like one of these. And he's talking about the children. You know, we need to release, you know, the past and get back in touch with that pure innocence, you know, that sense of honest, that love and that joy without boundaries. You know, we need to start seeing, you know, the Creator and all creation and everyone and everything and stop, you know, worshiping some name or some image, which is a separation.
Well, I totally agree with that. You know, when someone says, do you believe in God? They really are asking, do you believe in my God?
Yeah, or which God? Now, that's the first thing I asked them when they said, do you believe in God? And I said, which God? You know, you had Jehovah the Wrathful. You had Yahweh, the God of love and peace. You had the Egyptian gods, you know, the Greek gods. You've got Zeus, you know. You know, Jesus means son of Zeus, actually. You know, that's where they got Jesus from. But, Jesus is son of Zeus. But, you know, you ask, you know, which God do you want me? But we have to really get behind the concept that who created that God, that name, that image. And my question, too, is that all these gods, most of these gods are male. And we have to ask ourselves, did God have a mother? You know, who is this guy and did he have a mother? He must have had a mother because he's in a male body and he has a male name or whatever, you know, or did he come out of a test tube, you know, I don't know. But there's something behind all of that that created all of those dramas. And when, you know, and that's where we go when we go into quantum physics and things of that nature, we realize that there is this incredible intelligence out there that is so far beyond any name or image that we can give it. And once we get into that, we realize that we all, you know, came from that same source and we all return to the same source. And all these dramas in between are just that, dramas of eternal souls, you know, playing out there, you know, playing in their sandboxes and forgetting, you know, their origins or their roots. You know, they're just, you know, running on programs and they're stuck on these endless wheels of, you know, reincarnation, coming back again and again, you know, until they gain the wisdom from those experiences and let go of the old programs.
Well, maybe that's what we need, is just global clearing so that we can just release all that old stuff. And realize,
yeah, we just tip the planet.
Tip the planet. I like it. those of you that haven't been to Trout Lake, you won't know what we're talking about until you go there.
That's a joke there.
There has to be this desire to become childlike. I don't mean childish. I don't mean selfish. You know, he's looking at me. No, I don't mean that. I mean to be childlike. To realize that there is some naivete, there is some innocence, there is some goodness in every single person. Although, you know, I have my doubts when it becomes entertainment. And I don't know if any of you are old enough to have gone through this, although it's been fairly recent. But in 1991, we call this Gulf War I, the first Bush War, CNN came of age. We used to get the news at 6 and 11. That's the way news came to us. There was no 24-hour news.
No.
There was no need for 24-hour news. There wasn't that much bad news in the world to do 24-hour news. But in 1991, the war became entertainment, and CNN was launched. Buying commercial time during the war was expensive, and CNN paved the way for places like, or companies like MSNBC and for Fox News. Now, we're stuck with 24-hour news, which is basically 30-minute news, because you just recycle the same news over and over and over again. Oh, you sprinkle some financial news in there, and you sprinkle some conservative talk radio on TV in there to keep people occupied. But basically, it's teaching people how to hate.
Yeah.
You know, if we truly open up to love and open our children to love, and I mean hold your kids, don't let a daycare raise your kids, then if we don't open up to that, then we cannot hold on to hate forever. It has to let go. If we can grab that love and hold on to it and taste it every single day, you cannot hate. Someone is going to stand up on the news and say, step forward and hate with me. And you're going to say, I'm not into that anymore. I'm going to go have some organic pancakes and some warm syrup with my friends. It just sounds like a lot better idea to me.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think people are coming to realize that. I noticed that, you know, that's kind of a segue almost into what I've been dealing with is, you know, even with the UFO community, there's just so much hatred there and competition and backstabbing and disinformation and it's very sad. And the circuit, you know, has become a circus. Even a lot of the New Age stuff going down is the same thing. It's becoming a circus of misinformation. And, you know, I was studying the backgrounds of a lot of these people, and they all, you know, came out of Stanford Research, you know, funded by CIA, and you know, they're all coming out of military intelligence backgrounds, and almost you'll see this in every case, the majority of the people in those circuits come out of either military intelligence or They come out of some of these other institutes that were actually financed by the CIA.
Oh, yeah. And West Point, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised. I mean, Stanford Research Institute, in the beginning, I don't want to mention their names, but some of the most well-known psychics and all these other people you hear about, all came out of those groups. And so,
wow.
You look at that, and there's a book called Stargate Conspiracies. It's really good. It covers all of this, and it tracks all of these major, even in the New Age movement, all these major groups that became huge were all funded, or highly involved with the CIA.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Know we have a lot of posers in the New Age group.
Exactly.
We have Mark from Ohio on line one. Welcome to the program,
great.
Mark.
Hi, Dr. Agnew. I had a quick comment that I'd like to hear you guys discuss, and then I'll get off the line.
Sure.
Jordan Maxwell, who, by the way, is a contactee, stated that he was told by a very human-looking ET that we have powerful enemies in this world. I wonder if at the top of the New World Order we have some non-human entities or at least non-Earth humans, because the programs that we are seeing span multiple generations and they go back to at least World War II. We've got the vaccinations, we've got the chemtrails, and I wonder if during World War II the Nazi Party did not actually lose the war, they just ended up occupying the United States when they came over in Project Paperclip. Could the Nazis have brought some very powerful entities into our reality? And something is very deeply disturbing about this whole operation. And by the way, I'm sensing a very, very strange energy in the world right now. And I have experienced many strange things in the past couple of months. And I would like to hear your comments, and I will listen off the air. Thank you very much. Good night.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Yeah, you mentioned that strange energy when we first started the program tonight, and I want to go into that again. I agree with Mark, and in the second book of the Ark of Millions of Years, we have a chapter called Return of the Watchers. And I sincerely believe that the ancient plan of alchemy, that is turning something that's of no value into value, namely the dollar, and maybe even gold, turning base metals into something that has value, exchanging time and labor for it, and then it for power. That is a very ancient plan, and it seems to be so well coordinated around the world, piece by piece, dollar by dollar, bank by bank, and even our debt being bought up by China. All of this is so well orchestrated. I cannot help but believe that there are Nephilim behind it at the top.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. Here's what I've seen in my experiences is that there are, humans down here, basically. And what happens is you tell a lie, and then you have to tell another lie, and then another lie. And then you make, some money at somebody else's expense, and then you have to cover that up. And then it gets, each time you do this, you like sell a little part of your soul, or you lose access to your soul. And then pretty soon you've got no soul left or no connection left. All you have is this very aggressive, fearful ego that people are going to find out what it's done. And thus you have the men in power. And each time that they've chosen a path that's harmful to humanity, the earth, or a path of separation or greed or whatever else, they actually open themselves up to, you might say, negative influences that are unseen, some. And it's just not reptilian energies. There's demonic energies. There's astral beings, discarnate entities, all kinds of things out there that if you open the door, they can come in and take over. But again, it's by your choice. You have an automatic protection, which is your auric field. And if you're ultimately a good person and a nice guy and try to live, your life according to, the universal principles that we talked about, there's a lot of protection that comes with that.
Mm.
On the same means, there are higher beings that are much more evolved, much more powerful, and they have full use of creational energies and things of that nature. And these are the ultra dimensionals and the higher you know, some people call them angelic beings or different types of beings that you can, you know, connect with, you know, in your journey and work with them and, you know, work in a service mode. And what I'm seeing right now is that these, whatever you want to call them, the tyrants, the people that are basically parasites and predators right now on the planet are just getting hammered because that consciousness has a very low frequency to it, a very heavy, dense frequency. And it's filled with greed and separation and againstness and you name it. You know, it's very separate of consciousness.
We've seen a lot of billionaires lose their money and some of them step in front of trains. And,
yeah, exactly.
We have Diane from Michigan on line one. Welcome to the program, Diane.
Brooks. Hi, James.
Hello.
I was Eddie Seti in 2008 and absolutely enjoyed the whole conference. And the contact with the powering up of the spacecraft. Okay. What I'm calling in about is chemtrails as well as a couple other things. First of all, in the chemtrails, going back to that, I don't think that there's one silver bullet here. I think we have a multitude of things that are going on here on top of the fact that it affects our health, respiratory, Morgellons, mental, you know, the inhalation of aluminum particles, which I believe also is a receptor to HARP. It also blocks out the sun rays and the vitamin D. And the vitamin D, of course, most people, I'm sure, are aware that, you know, vitamin D is a builder of the immune system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've got these pandemics going on, you know, that have started since 9-1-1 between West Nile virus, H1N1, you can go on and on and on, and the terrorist. But I noticed that this year, well, actually I noticed it last year because I've been tracking chemtrails since 1999. In fact, I took with a Polaroid camera, old-fashioned Polaroid camera that I've had for eons. One morning I woke up and the sky was crisscrossed at 7 o'clock in the morning with these chemtrails. And this goes back to 1999. And I took my camera outside and I shot right into the sun as it was rising over the horizon. And these chemtrails are there, and I said, I know these pictures are going to take. They have to take, because when you point a Polaroid into the sun, I mean, obviously, you know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
The sun was in the background, and it was so bright, the sun, but the chemtrails came out so perfect. And I forwarded those on to many talk radio stations at that time that were just beginning to talk about chemtrails. However, When I came down with Morgellons disease in 2004, as a result of my third trip to Israel, and also going into other parts of the world, Mexico, South America, the chemtrails were everywhere.
Oh yeah,
they were not just here in this country. And I had Morgellons disease for 1 year, and I happened to get rid of it. I don't want to go into that at this particular time because I've talked to the foundation and so forth and so on. But I also, this past couple of years, amazingly, and it was brought to my attention about the sylphs. And mm-hmm. I've watched them myself this entire summer as every chemtrail that came across, all of a sudden you've seen these wispy clouds come in, and they literally ate up the chemtrails. Absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that?
How did it eat up the chemtrails? What happened?
Well, they're called sylphs. You can look them up. I happen to be with a friend from Las Vegas who has lots of pictures of spacecraft. She was also at ESETI with us, and that's where I met her, actually. And she has a whole album of these large cloud ships and so forth and so on. And we were sitting on my patio, and we were talking, and she was talking to me, have you seen the sylphs? And I said, what are you talking about? And she explained it to me, and we started looking, and my God, they were right there. And
wow.
They're wispy clouds that come in back up after, you know, they're higher beings. And sometimes they even show, if you go onto the internet, you can see pictures of these. And I've got lots of pictures of them. They come back, they come in, they're coming in now, and they're literally eating up these chemtrails right after they're laid down.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that, James?
Yeah, I definitely have seen that, and we've seen that here. And we've also seen the ships involved in some extreme technologies to clean up the air, where they spun them into these, we talked about earlier about these, spun them into these little vortex clouds, and like all the chemtrails just were spun into these little tornadoes, and then they just vanished.
Yeah, well, I've actually literally seen forms and shapes, because after I was told about this earlier in this past summer, that it was like, I started, you know, I look up all the time. I mean, I keep, in fact, I don't look down anymore. I don't look straight ahead. I'm only looking up. I trip over myself. And,
yeah.
It was just amazing, what I was witnessing. And, you know, I really believe that they know everything has been based on, especially, well, we can go back to Waco, we can go back to Ruby Ridge, but since 9-1-1, everything has been based on fear. And we all know that there's two emotions. And everything falls into those two emotions. Fear, which is a very low, a very negative frequency. And then you have love. And so constantly we have been bombarded with fear in every direction. They think they can keep us from evolving into ascension.
Aha, that's a good point.
I really believe. And so all this is paradigm. Within their what they believe is their scope, that if they can affect us mentally, but unfortunately, mentally is not going to do it because everything comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
My belief is everything comes from the heart first.
You know, there's a lot of research too that these frequencies. You know, everything has a frequency to it, and the frequencies of fear are actually being broadcasted by many, many different types of towers and devices to keep the consciousness down.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I mean, I don't even have a cell phone anymore. I just pitched that one a couple years ago. I haven't had a TV in 10 years. And, you know, it's funny. You know, you take a look at this, and all of a sudden you start putting all the dots together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, the dots are really coming together. And I also, James, like you said, I'm watching. I mean, I have been a patriot in this movement for 15 years, ever since 1996 and when Clinton got in. And the second time I said, Houston, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, it was just like nonstop educating. And it's just amazing how these pieces have been falling together. And and even though I'm not a proponent of 2012 as a per se date, because I think we've been evolving now for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so too. I think especially, you know, the last 3 years. I mean, if adult like me can come around in 1 or 2 days at James's, then people that have a little more on the ball than me. Can certainly make that evolutionary shift. You know, you really opened my eyes to something, Diane. I never thought about things like HAARP being used to create kind of a fear generator or an anxiety resonator to keep the race from evolving.
Absolutely. And the reason I know that is I have an acquaintance because I have the Raymond Rife frequency machine. I also have acupuncture machine and so forth as a result of my Morgellons disease. And at that time when I had it, it had not been disclosed yet. It had not been diagnosed. I mean, nobody knew what it was. It wasn't until halfway through the year that I came home with it from Israel. I mean, that's where it started from. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. The things that after a year of complete suffering, no sleep, I mean, it was just, I can't even explain to you the agony and the pain that you go through with that disease and thousands of people. But I met through this experience, I met a woman in which from that point on, I met many people over conversations that they had on conference calls around the world that, you know, were electronically stalked. I mean, these people were hearing voices in their heads. And since then, you know, I've done a lot of research on them. It's absolutely, there's no doubt about it. And that's why I believe the other thing, too, is that HD box that our government promoted last year in regards to everybody having to get it for $40, and it was free, and the government was going to provide it. I believe that that really has something to do with, because everybody watches TV, that that is also going to be a connector to mind control.
Mm.
There'd be no other reason why. Why would the government care of what kind of TV you watch?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think TV already is mind control, but, you know,
well,
a lot of people...
Well, it has been since the 50s.
Yeah, but a lot of people say with this new technology, they can look into anybody's house at any time, you know, with these new TVs and this new technology, and even though you think you're watching a movie, they're watching everything you're doing.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but I don't really think they care what you're doing, James. I really don't think. I think that's another fear tactic. What I really think that it has more to do with controlling the mind.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Not letting the heart come through and controlling the mind. I don't really think that they care what you're really doing.
Right.
But
it's just keeping the mind occupied so that you're not thinking.
Yeah. I think if they had a way of doing that, and I've heard people talking about that technology and that they could, if it is hooked to a cable or a satellite, that they actually could monitor you through that system. Whether or not they're doing it, I don't know. It's just what some guy was talking about, and he sounded like he was very knowledgeable in the system and how it worked.
Well, they know what channel you're watching because you got the box. I mean, they
can
see what you're watching, but I don't think.
Well, not only that, but think about the chemtrails.
I mean,
okay?
I'm in my pajamas. I don't want them to see that.
Yeah. You know, who knows? I don't know what they can do. I know from what some of these black helicopters can do and their technologies. I mean, these guys can see through walls. They can strip your computer of anything they want, anytime they want. They can do some pretty amazing things with this technology, and to me, it's just like, you know, somehow hooking up a reverse thing on your thing to at least listen, if not see. I don't see how that would be much of a problem for them, knowing the technology that's out there now.
Yeah, I think the surveillance technology is way beyond what anybody thinks it is. I was talking to a very close friend of mine the other day who was saying they were sitting on the beach, and they saw military craft come over in pairs, and they had no lights on them, and they were colored dark. I don't know if it was green or if they were black.
Uh-huh.
But no lights on them, and they made no sound.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they we've
seen
those.
Really fast, but they just made no sound. Are you seeing those up there, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're seeing those quite a bit. And actually, I have footage of them. I have footage of an older helicopter that was retrofitted with some kind of a jet engine or something. You could see very clearly from the tail section of shooting it, and you could see the heat coming signature coming off of it. And they had no markings on them whatsoever, and I have that on my site. And then there's these other helicopters that look like I don't know why I have a mental block.
Oh, the little Bell helicopter?
No, it's the little attack helicopters that they had, the Blackhawks.
Oh, the Blackhawks. Oh.
Yeah, they have these Blackhawks that are totally silent. They have gear on them that nobody's ever seen before, and there's this huge dish underneath them like a giant pie pan with all these little apparatuses coming out that rotate. It rotates underneath it. And they have these C-shaped tubes on the front of them as well. And somebody told me that was for, monitoring the electromagnetic spectrum as well as catching any wires that they might run into at night, you know, and clipping them so it doesn't take the helicopter down.
It might make the lights go out, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. That's the only information I could get. But I did find out that these helicopters did exist. They would land and they would fuel themselves, and if you got anywhere within 100 yards of them, you could be basically court-martialed. You were not supposed to go anywhere near these.
Wow.
And you know, they were self-contained. The people in them fueled them themselves, and nobody got near them. And I also found out too is when they crashed that they didn't exist. The people on them didn't exist. They had no references or tracking or anything. It's you know, they would totally disavow any connection to them whatsoever.
Well, it's clear that there's a lot of testing of the waters going on out there. Diane's brought up some good points I didn't know. And you're talking about, you know, technology that's flying out there in the face of the people. And we're looking up and looking at it, and you call the base and say, hey, I saw this today. And they say, well, we don't have anything like that. But it's clear there's some testing of the waters because
these things
are not just flying over the United States. Just 2 days ago, Israeli jets flew over Lebanon, took fire, nothing happened, and then they flew back. Now, I don't think that was a mistake in air traffic control. That was a recon mission. There's testing of the waters going on all over the place. And this year, you know, we need to be aware as a people that somebody or multiple people are sitting there with their fingers on the button. And we need to have civilian oversight over all of this.
You know, that I think the whole thing is about basically, and that's another thing that's kind of fallen by the wayside. Supposedly, there have been some bills that make the that Obama's gotten involved with to make the Freedom of Information Act more streamlined and things like that. But, you know, we all know they're not going to share with us, you know, what's really going on. They never have, you know. But I think the main key is that there is no transparency. There is no civilian oversight. There is no auditing of any of the things they're doing, you know. You know, just how many trillion, something like, I can't remember how many trillion dollars, something like, was it $1.3 trillion just went missing in the military budget? Nobody can find it. Don't know.
That $1.03 trillion
in 2010? Program.
Yeah. That doesn't include the black budget. No, the space program is only $17 billion. There's only three new programs in NASA in 2010, and no manned missions at all, not to the moon, not to Mars, nowhere.
Well, NASA's a joke compared to the secret NASA program going on. So maybe they're just saying, look, we're tired of the window dressing, and we're not even going to do it anymore. We're not going to try to fake the people out and let them think that we're, you know, the not only thing we can do is fly people up on giant firecrackers and hope they get back, you know. You know, they don't want them to know about the counter-gravity and the anti-gravity and all the other technologies that they have.
Transporting and trans-dimensional engines that...
that make NASA look like a dinosaur, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, everything is so compartmentalized. That's why. I mean, you know, I really believe that many of these people, you know, they have hearts like you and I do. They have consciousness like you and I do. But because they're so compartmentalized, that they really don't know what the next guy is doing, and they're just given a directive, and they follow through with that directive.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, like, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, is so streamlined and so wonderful the way they handle their grant programs. They've really done a great job of getting money to the front lines of new agricultural, water handling, air handling, soil handling technologies. But the Department of Energy is lethargic, and they have been funneling hundreds of millions of dollars to companies that don't do anything but spend money, like the National Renewable Energy Lab. They continuously get large grants from the Department of Energy, and yet they do nothing for technology exchange to private industry.
Just like healthcare.
Yeah.
And well, you know, it's... There. And one more thing, and I'll let you go because I know that you're getting ready to sign off, but I wanted to let you know, and I don't know if this is true, Brooks, but I know that you said that you'd love to go to Baghdad to take a look at the museums.
Yeah.
My understanding is from a family that I'm very close to who has family over there that our military has looted most of all those museums.
Oh, that's a terrible thing for me to hear. Come on. Do I have to go to
Indiana Jones
Museum to find
true,
what I want to see?
But, yeah, well, that came, I mean, they did that for the reason because Saddam Hussein had a lot of knowledge when it came to ancient history. And he was becoming more and more knowledgeable, and he had, because much of those things are in Iran and Iraq, it isn't just for oil. It is goes far beyond just oil.
Oh, yeah.
It
wow.
goes on to the secrets, not only what the Vatican has, but there's a lot of information that was in that area about who we are and where we came from.
What's the purpose of holding that away from the people? What is the purpose
well,
of that?
Well, because they don't want us to know. They're not of us. They're not of us.
Hmm.
They don't have the consciousness of the heart that we have.
Yeah, I think
and
also
see,
the status quo, they're there to maintain the status quo. And all these new findings would totally turn everything upside down as far as what we've been told about our history and our origins.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But it's going to come out, guys. I think it's going to be, you're going to see something that's going to be phenomenal this year. I think it's going to
oh, yeah.
be ugly the first few months, but I think after that, the things are going to be upside down, just like you said, James, inside out, and nothing but the truth will come out because that's our intention.
I agree. I agree. Thank you. Thank
and
you
so
much,
And you have a
Diane.
Wonderful new year.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Very much.
Love you both. Bye-bye.
Love you too. I've got a poem by Rumi. It's called A Call from the Unseen. Mm-hmm. It says, a baby pigeon on the edge of the nest hears the call and begins his flight. How can the soul of the seeker not fly when a message arrives saying, you have been trapped in life like a bird with no wings, in a cage with no doors or windows. Come, come back to me. How can the soul not rip open its coverings and soar to the sky? What is the rope that pulls the soul from above? What is the secret that opens the door? The key is the flutter of the heart's wings and its endless longing. When the door opens, walk on the path where the abundance awaits you, where everything old becomes new, and never look back. That's Rumi. So here we are, James, on the threshold of jumping from the nest of government care from cradle to grave. Are we ready to spread our wings and fly and be free, really? Do we really want this freedom?
Yeah, you know, you really think about it. If you took all of the waste and all of the money towards, you know, controlling and manipulating and, you know, the war and everything else, just all of that money. I mean, it would be in the trillions of dollars. And if you just shifted that into educating, bringing out the real healing technologies, rebuilding our infrastructure, you know, bringing out the new technologies like you're doing with electric cars and things like that. You know, you can just imagine what this country would be, you know, the wealth that we do have and the abundance we do have. But the only problem is that, you know, there is a small elite that is controlling that, you know, sitting on trillions of dollars. And if these guys could just wake up and smell the coffee, you know, just a few of them and realize that they're really gaining nothing. I mean, they're gaining less power, less wealth. They're only going to be subjective to reincarnating again and cleaning up all the mess they did in the past. You know, the real power is love, basically. That's the bottom line. And, you know, that's what God is. God is love. And love is service. And when you shift into service and you start connecting, you know, to the source, which is love, and allowing that love to flow through you, you have the ultimate power in the universe moving through you. And that is what these people are so afraid of, is us accessing the God within and allowing that God to come through us. And this isn't a wrathful God. It's not a God of control and domination. You know, it's a God of love. And that's where we need to get back to and allow that force to flow through us. And then everything will turn around. But there is no power in overpowering others or controlling or manipulating others. It's very disempowering in the long run. And you end up losing whatever short-term gain, you know, that you've got. And until these people figure this out, and I think they will eventually,
there's sustaining energy in it. You look at the condition of the leaders like Bush or Obama after just a few months in office. Look at them. Look at how they gray and wear out. Look how the energy of hatred pulls the life energy out of them.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about that. If you take a before and after picture of any of these people, you know, take a picture of them just, you know, just a few years ago, and they are so harried and so old and wrinkled, and you know, the life force has pretty much evaded them, and that's the bottom line: is when you align with that low consciousness, that low frequency, you cut yourself off from the life force. And you, there are consequences of that. And I don't care how many drugs or how many artificial means you have of trying to support yourself or keep yourself alive. These guys end up losing their minds. And with this new energy coming in, they are just going to go, they're just going to be rendered totally inert. They're going to implode on themselves. You know, their karma is going to be accelerated. It's going to be a very ugly scenario for these groups. And there's no way around it other than to shift and you know, totally shift into service and, you know, start using all of your assets and your consciousness, your energy, everything into the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth. That's their only way out of this. And
well, we'll try to resonate that forward. That's just pay that forward. And
exactly.
James, thank you so much for coming on the program. I mean, 3 hours goes at about 45 minutes when you're on the program.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you. And keep up the great work up there and let me know if there's anything I can do.
I'll do that. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks, James. Good night.
All right. Good night.
All right. Earth Explorers, that's it for January 3rd, 2010. The new website for January will be up in a few hours. I have to mix this down, and then it'll be up, and you'll have it. So we'll see you next week right here on X Squared Radio. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.